Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online by going to AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, we are doing our thing, trying to work our way up to the 250th anniversary of this wonderful country in which we live. And we've had we had a program the other day with Eddie Lee, the professor over at Winthrop University. Today, Will Shelton joins us. He's a military interpreter at Historic Bratton's Hill, and we're going to learn all about that. We've got other programs planned, including one tomorrow, where we're going to be talking with Robert Riles about various aspects of the American Revolution, especially the Scotch-Irish Presbyterians. Ah, about that. Interesting.
I love it.
You have to listen.
Yeah, I know, right?
Good for you. All right, Will Shelton is the voice you're hearing. Tell everybody a little bit about Will.
Sure. My name is Will Shelton. I'm 31. I live in Rock Hill. I have been a nerd all my life, and so because of that, I now work in historical interpretation. It all just kind of comes with the territory at this point.
Well, he's married. He has a little six-month-old son.
Absolutely, and I could not be happier. He makes me the happiest dad in the world, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, he was showing me some neat pictures of dad and son in their, what would you call them? Likeable shades. Very nice. So, you know, we've got so many new people in this community. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, I would guess that most of them don't even know anything about the scope of the museum of York County.
Oh, yeah.
About historic. Why don't you take a minute and talk about the museum and all its little parts.
Yeah, absolutely. So Historic Brattonsville is just one part of the Cultural and Heritage Museums of York County, which is a series of museums, including, but not limited to, the Museum of York County, Historic Brattonsville, the Main Street Children's Museum in downtown Rock Hill, and the McKelvey Center, I think it's McKelvey Center for the Arts, I think is the official title of it. But we all work together. We all help each other out in terms of programming and what we've got going on, promoting each other. So Museum of York County is all natural history. Historic Brattonsville's more revolutionary antebellum reconstruction. And then with the Children's Museum, it's a fun place for kid development. They got a lot of stuff there. It's really cool.
And fortunately, it's been reopened. It was closed
quite a while. Oh, yeah.
They had a pipe burst above, and the water got into everything, and having to deal with the insurance companies and going back and forth. I mean, it was closed for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
But it's open.
Yeah.
Good place to go.
Absolutely.
Kids love it. All right. So Historic Bratton's Hill.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Sure.
What do you have out there on that campus?
Yeah. So we have a number of original historic buildings, original to the site, and then other historic buildings that had been moved from other places. We have the battlefield for the Battle of Huck's Defeat, which we are celebrating in July, July 11th and 12th. And then we also have a very large homestead house, which was built by John Simpson Bratton Sr. in the 1820s, representative of the antebellum period before the Civil War. And then we also have the brick store, which was built in the 1840s, where there's some really cool reconstruction history that happened there.
What was the building that caught fire and burned down? Is that the barn?
No, the building that caught fire and burned down in like 2004, that was the wooden store that had been built by Napoleon Bonaparte Bratton. We don't know why he's called Napoleon Bonaparte. We think it's because Harriet, who ended up having 15 kids, was running out of names. So the store burned down in 2004, but luckily, whatever luck can come out of that, they had done an architectural survey of it the year before, where they had gone through and done all the measurements. So theoretically, if we got a grant, we could, and theoretically, if that grant was not for the other things we need to get done out there, we could build it back pretty much exactly.
So right now, we just have a foundation.
Now we just have stones and a random chimney in the middle of a little grassy area. It's funny to look at. It's a funny story to tell.
All right, so this is where you get to be the professor.
Sure.
In front of the class.
Sure.
And tell everybody about the significance of Brattonsville and the military, mm-hmm. and what was going on as we work our way towards, work our way into the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. So I guess the best place to start is the beginning, right?
Sure.
The Brattons are Scots-Irish Presbyterians. They get here from the Ulster Plantation in Ireland. And after making their way down the Great Wagon Road from Pennsylvania, William Bratton, one of six or seven brothers, will settle in this area. He marries Martha, and they end up having a good number of children. And William takes charge of what's known as the New Acquisition Militia, which militias at that time are a little bit different than the militias today. But militias at that time are your police force and your firefighting force and all these other things in an area where there's not really an official British presence.
Hmm.
Yorkville at the time is not a frontier town. They're not having to hunt for their food every single day, but it's not a very big town. And so having a militia out there would have been really, really important for the area.
So when he settled,
yes.
he settled where Brattonsville is right now?
Yes, sir.
And he was a farmer?
Yes, he was a farmer.
And how big was his farm?
About 200 acres.
200 acres.
200 acres.
And Brattonsville right now has got more than that.
It's about 800 acres.
800 acres.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
About 800 acres of land is used for various different things. Most of the property that people can walk is probably about an acre, but the rest of it is used for preservation work and for farming with our historic animals that we have out there, and making sure that that area of York County stays historical.
When you say historic animals,
yes.
Tell me what you mean by that.
So they are heritage breeds of animals. That means that these are animals that the Brattons would have known if not had. So we have Gulf Coast native sheep, which is a breed of sheep that is critically endangered. There's only about 3,000 of them left in the world.
And we have how many of those out here?
We have, right now, we have a herd of about 10.
Huh.
They have lambs every year. Some of the lambs we send to other farms that are also doing some heritage breed preservation. But then we also sell some to local farmers in the area who use them for various different purposes.
Do we shear the sheep and sell the wool?
We shear the sheep, don't sell the wool. We shear the sheep every year about February,
uh-huh.
February, March, which is one of the things that I get to do out there. Which is a lot of fun. These big old metal scissors of shears and take down a sheep and just give them a big old haircut.
No modern tools.
No modern tools. No, sir. Dressed up in long sleeves. We used to do this in May. It was very warm. So doing it a little earlier makes me very happy because it's not as hot.
And we use the wool out there for spinning and whatnot.
We clean it. We skirt it, which is basically just removing the poop and the dirt and the nonsense from it. And then we card it, which is straighten out all the fibers. And then we spin it. And then spinning it, we get the yarn. And then from the yarn, we make a whole bunch of different things.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
And how much do you get to do?
I get to do the shearing, the cleaning, and the skirting and the carding part. I am not a very good spinner or a very good knitter.
All right, so back to the military.
Yes, sir.
So here's Colonel Bratton down
yes.
there. He's settled.
Yep.
He has a farm about 200 acres.
Mm-hmm.
He's just living a regular lifestyle.
Pretty much.
All right. What brought him I mean, why did he settle there versus somewhere else? Was that ever documented?
I'm sure it is. That's a question for the historian.
Okay.
Because I am not 100% sure.
All right.
My money is that a large community of Scots-Irish are settling in that area.
Okay.
And so you go where you know people.
So he wasn't the first one?
No, sir. He was not.
Okay.
By the time he gets there in the 1760s, Yorkville is already fairly well established as a minor trading town, essentially.
Yeah. Now, Yorkville was located where?
Where modern-day York is.
Where modern-day York is.
Yes, sir.
But that's still a fair piece from where Brattonsville is.
Absolutely.
And back in those days, we didn't have cars and motorcycles,
No.
We had a horse.
Yes,
and that would be a day trip up and back.
Absolutely, that's why that a lot of the things that they needed to do would have been right there on the farm. So they probably would have had forge,
a
blacksmith's forge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To make nails and other metal things that needed to be done to build houses and stuff like that.
I gotcha.
But that's also the need for the militia as well. They're so far from Yorkville, having a volunteer force of people to kind of get together and defend at that point in time would have been defending against the Cherokee.
There we are, the Indians. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. We were not worried at that time, before the British came,
right,
about anything but the Native Americans.
Yes and no. It's the Cherokee in particular, the way that they lived life back then was counter to how the colonists lived. And so naturally, because their lifestyles are so different, they're going to clash. But there's also unrest amongst a lot of the colonists out there. Get into things like the Regulator Movement, which is a movement that takes place mostly in North Carolina. We don't know if the Brattons had any sort of interaction with it. But we know that there was at least some unrest amongst the colonists as well.
So was there, what would I call it, infighting or competition, let's say, for the Native animals that were there? I mean, was Bratton and his family culling herds that were the Indians thought were theirs?
Probably not.
Okay.
Most of that area at this point is settled. Agriculture's fairly well established in that area.
Right.
The Brattons even buy their home and 200 acres of land in the 1760s from a guy named Samuel Rainey.
Okay.
So we already know that people are already living out there. They're already well established with farmland and things like that. So
was he growing any crops out there?
Yes. Yeah, corn and something else that I can't remember.
Cotton was cotton in vogue then?
Not yet. Post Revolutionary Wars. Right. Cotton.
Okay. So the
boom.
So the military
yes.
was that his role in the military was just really to protect his farm, his
community, really.
His community.
Right? He's.
And we have, I mean, do we know how many others were around him in this community?
I don't have the exact number.
Right.
I'll go ahead and say that I don't know. But we know that the new acquisition militia was probably about 120, 130 strong.
Ooh. So there must have been a bunch of people living out there.
Exactly. And so they would have patrolled all around York County, kind of like the National Guard, if you think about it a little bit, where they would go off a week, a month or so, and they would go train. And that would be how they maintained discipline.
No kidding. It was that organized.
It was that organized. Militias are not, like a lot of people here, they're not like a ragtag bunch of farmers that all get together and have to be taught. A lot of these guys are veterans. They are veterans in the British Army of things like the French Indian Wars, things like that, where they know what they're doing with a gun, for sure. The big difference is that a lot of the times they're not sponsored by any sort of larger government.
Okay. So the most notable battle out there at Brattonsville.
Yes.
Was the Battle of Huck's Defeat?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Were there others prior to that?
Absolutely. Battle of the Waxhaws, which is the place where Beaufort's Massacre, where or Tarleton's Massacre, where after the Patriot troops surrendered out there, there was an order given, we don't know if it was by Tarleton or somebody else, to execute all the prisoners. And so the large number of deaths out there are due to the British executing all of the surrendered Patriots. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a rallying cry for the Patriot cause, becomes what's known as Giving Tarleton's Quarter, which is shorthand for taking no prisoners.
So this happened all out there in that area, mm-hmm. of Yorkville and Brattonsville?
Battle of the Waxhaws is Museum of the Waxhaws. It's down near Chester, kind of that area.
Down Chester, okay.
Yes, sir.
Was there anything specifically besides Huck's defeat that was right there at the Brattonsville area?
No, sir.
No.
Not that I know of.
All right. When we come back from our mid-program break, we're going to talk about the Battle of Huck's Defeat.
Yeah.
And how it is reenacted every year out there at Brattonsville. As we continue our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Okay, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, we make fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and we encourage everybody who can read to participate and say this out loud. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com/about.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Will Shelton. Will is the military interpreter at historic Brattonsville. And if you have been living somewhere else in the world, you probably have forgotten or did not know that we're celebrating our 250th anniversary here in the good old United States of America, which happens on July 4th, 2026. Mm-hmm. How about that? And Will is here to tell us about the local tie-ins and the role that we play to help us to understand this. the role that your county played in this American Revolution. So we're going to talk about the Battle of Huck's Defeat.
Sure.
Right here in York County.
Yes.
And what led up to it? Just start from the beginning.
Sure. This is 1780. In the year 1780, Charleston has fallen. The Patriots are on basically the back foot. The British think this is a shoe-in, and so they're sending people down into South Carolina, one, to arrest a lot of the leaders, and two, to try and garner support for the British cause. They think that South Carolina is going to be a shoe-in. They're quickly going to find that that is not the case, as they meet a lot of resistance along the way. So when Bratton... and his men, they're going to go down to Chester. They're going to train away from his home. He's leaving Martha, his kids, and those that he has enslaved there to go work on the home. Meanwhile, a group of about 120 soldiers led by a guy named Captain Christian Huck, who was a German, basically a real estate lawyer in Philadelphia when independence is declared. They're led by a guy named Captain Christian Huck to come in and try and arrest Colonel Bratton. When they find out that he's not home, they take Martha, her kids, and the enslaved, and they put all of them up in the attic. What they don't do, however, is they don't manage to get a hold of an enslaved kid whose name is Watt. Watt is an enslaved boy. He's probably about 14 years old, 15 years old, and is riding by himself on a horse the 20 miles to Chester to go and warn Colonel Bratton that, hey, the British are here. They're looking for you. Don't come home.
Oh, jeez. So the family,
yes.
Mom and her 15 kids.
No. Mom and her six kids.
Six kids.
Yes.
Are put up in the attic.
Yes.
And they have to stay there.
Yes.
Hoping that, what was his name again?
Huck.
Huck is going to find the old man and tell him to come home.
Yep.
Okay.
Or Watt, I'm sorry.
Watt.
Watt,
okay.
Yep.
So, to gallop down there to Chester, that's a ride.
And this is an enslaved kid. I mean...
He's an African-American.
Absolutely. He is a person of African descent.
Okay.
He has a lot of options before him. We don't know why he chooses not to go join the British or to warn the British that, hey, Colonel Bratton's down here instead of up there. We don't know why Watt chooses to do what Watt chooses to do. What we do know is that Watt goes and warns Colonel Bratton. Colonel Bratton's going to march then 20 miles overnight on July 11th. To the Williamson's plantation, which is a quarter mile away from the Bratton's plantation.
Okay.
When he gets there, he's going to find Huck and his men asleep at about 5 o'clock in the morning. They're going to separate, the British are going to separate their force into three, and they're going to try and do just a big old, like a claw. Think of like a crab claw, where one's going to come from the left, one's going to come from the right, and one's going straight ahead at him. And they come across a sentry, meant to keep watch, but the sentry's asleep. So what Colonel Bratton does, has a guy point a gun at the sentry and says, if this guy wakes up, you shoot him. They're going to get a little closer. The shot rings out, and the battle begins.
Whew.
As you can imagine, the British have no idea what's going on. They are panicked. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be awake at 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's middle of the day for me. Go ahead.
Exactly. But the British are getting dressed. They're cleaning their guns. They may be cooking breakfast. Huck hears all this commotion going on outside, and runs out of the Williamson's house where he had been harassing the Williamson's the night before. He forgets his coat and his hat and his gun, so he turns around to go get it, and when he turns around, he realizes that the Williamsons have closed the door behind him and had barred it shut. Huck, in a clean white shirt, basically his underwear, jumps up on a horse, tries to do a couple of cavalry charges, realizes he's already losing, and issues the order to retreat. As he retreats, one of Bratton's men kneels, lines up, takes a shot. Huck is hit in the back of the head and it falls off his horse and is dead before he hits the ground.
Ooh.
The battle lasts 15 minutes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. of the 120, 130 British, about 40 or 50 are killed or wounded. And then on the Patriot side, there is only one injury.
One injury?
One injury.
No deaths?
No, sir.
Isn't that something?
It's...
And keep in mind, the guns back in those days, they didn't have rifling in the barrels.
Not a lot of them, no.
And they were not, I mean, when that ball came out of there, you weren't quite sure it was going to go where you had the rifle pointed.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of the reason why traditional warfare back then was everybody stand in a line. Because everybody standing in a line, all wearing the same uniform from a good distance, is going to look like a big blob. So people are more likely just to kind of point in the general direction and take a shot and hope that they hit something. That's why it was really important for everybody to be in a line. It's why the Patriots' way of fighting was so confusing to the British. They're so used to fighting in a line.
All right, so what comes out of all this? I mean, this battle lasts 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That's it.
So it's not a huge military victory, per se, but Huck is killed. The Dragoons, which are the cavalry unit that was under Huck, are a lot of them are killed. This forces Tarleton to rethink his strategy in the backcountry. And so he has to take his force and begin retreating out. And as he's pushed back out, Patriot sentiment amongst South Carolina surges, and it leads into the battle at King's Mountain. So, yeah. So I always like to say on the tours, like, because Watt makes the decision that Watt does, he is the reason that the British are the beginning of the end of the British occupation of South Carolina.
Yeah, they got taught a lesson.
Absolutely. real quick.
Yeah, real quick. Lost a whole bunch of people. I mean, that's something. 40, what'd you say? They came up with about 100, and they lost 40 or 60? Oh, I'm choking on your drink there.
Excuse me.
You sound like the doctor over here after he's eating his potato chips.
Yeah, so they lose about 40 to 50 of their 120-man force, 130-man force.
And we lost nobody.
Yeah, of our 130-man force. Yeah.
So they skedaddled.
Yep.
Ran all up to King's Mountain.
Yep.
And tried again, which is a whole other story.
Oh, yeah.
And they lost up there.
Absolutely. Which pushes them all the way back. And
they took them back up to Virginia, and that's where it just started to snowball.
Oh, yeah.
And then the French arrive.
Yep.
When we're up in the New England area in Boston, and boom, we send Cornwallis home.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So we have a rather rich history. Okay. So now what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
To memorialize this? Is it this month or next month?
Next month.
Next month.
Yeah, because it's still June.
Right, that's right. So tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah, so on July 11th and 12th, we're going to have a big reenactment weekend, basically, where we're celebrating the Battle of Huck's defeat. So on the 11th, July 11th, we are going to be doing a couple of things. We're going to have a bunch of reenactors out there. This is 11th and 12th. A bunch of reenactors out there doing 18th century military interpretation, both the British camp and the Patriot camp.
Right.
We're going to have an augmented reality exhibit by the Charlotte Museum of History, which is a really, really cool technology where they're using video game development to recreate and pull out details from different battles. Right. Super cool. We've got cooking going on. We've got blacksmithing going on. We've got 18th century toys and games for everyone of all ages to come out and come play. And then we also have a handwriting activity where people can get their hands on trying to write with.
But the one thing you want to see is the actual battle.
Yes.
Because they're going to be firing those muskets and
absolutely.
You'll see what's going on.
Right. Absolutely. The battles are going to take place at 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock on Saturday, we're doing the Battle of Eutaw Springs. And then on Sunday, we're going to do the Battle of Huck's Defeat.
Okay, Will Shelton, you've done a very good job. Thanks for being with us today.
No worries.
Will Shelton, military interpreter at Historic Brattonville, and that's going to wrap up our program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay. We have an audience. Here they are. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it Y'all ready? Okay. At the count of three for everybody who's out there. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow.